to your announcements. We've got a couple announcements for you again this week. First up, we are hoping to do a baptism service coming up.
Yeah, April 2nd. If you're interested in being baptized, you can grab a staff member or reach out to the office. We'd love to chat with you.
Yeah, we always love having baptisms in the service. Such an exciting time to witness people taking those next steps. So definitely let us know. And next up, can you believe that Easter is almost here?
I know.
It's crazy. And we got some Easter stuff going on, one of which is an Easter egg hunt for the children.
That's right. It's one of our first community Easter egg hunts post-COVID.
Yeah.
So this announcement isn't for the kids. This one is for you guys, our community. If you're interested in getting involved and say you're more of the behind the scenes kind of person, we have spots that you can volunteer for. Yeah. We definitely need you to be part of our Easter egg hunt. If you are an in the action day of kind of person, we have spots for you too. You can send an email to the office. We'd love to hear from you and help you get involved.
Yeah, so like if the people want to hide the eggs.
Yes, we definitely need people for that.
That would be fun. Awesome. Well, I'm sure if you're interested in getting involved and volunteering for that, we'd love to hook you up. So definitely give us an email for that. And you know the drill. For any other information or if you want to know what's going on, head to our website. That's all we got for you this week. We'll see you next time.
Well, good morning, and I'm so proud of you guys. You guys made it here. Even with an extra hour less of sleep, maybe more if you have children or pets. So well done. Give yourselves a round of applause for being here. I was telling the coffee ladies this morning that they have the most important role. So just keep us all caffeinated and awake. Yeah, fast clapping. I love it. Well, welcome. We're so glad that you are here, that you have joined us for worship this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand as we get started. And I just want to start us off with a call to worship from Psalm 145, which says this: I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever, for great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic and glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. We will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness, for the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. Yes, the Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and the glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and you rule throughout all generations. So let's sing, King of Heaven. Jesus, let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here in us. Jesus, there is no one greater.
King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come.
sing, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Let's sing that again. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing all my life. Sing of the goodness of God. Sing we. Yes, we will sing of the goodness of our God. Greet the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy, would our good fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. that chorus one more time.
Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Yeah, God, we do give you praise. We thank you that you are our hope, that whatever we are walking through, we can face it because you are with us. And we don't have to fear about what tomorrow holds or what this afternoon holds or what tonight holds, because we know that you hold the future. You have broken the ties of death and sin. You have made a bridge over the chasm that separates us. And you invite us to live in reality of that hope. So we just thank you for who you are, God. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We worship you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Well, you may have a seat. And kids, if you would like to head to the back, Shyla's waiting back there. She would love to take you up to your kids program where you guys can continue to worship there. And otherwise, Christina is going to come and she's going to teach us big kids up here.
Down here. Down, they're going up
right
there.
Down. Yeah.
It is good to see you all, especially on Time Change Sunday. It is really nice to see you all, and I'm curious if we're going to see anybody struggle in at the very end of the service going like, oh, yeah. Yeah, those are like the old school people who don't have a smartphone that like does all the work for you. But before we get into what I'm hoping to share today, let's pray. Yeah, Father, I thank you for all the truths that we were just able to declare together. I thank you that they are true even when we don't feel it, even when they're just words we're declaring, but having a difficult time believing. I thank you that we are worshiping a God who is alive, who wants to have a relationship with us, who wants to show himself to us, who wants to teach us and guide us. And so that is what I pray for this morning, that you will be speaking, that your spirit will be present and at work in all of our hearts. That we will walk away from this place changed because we encountered you. I pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So there's a story that Jesus told of a man who went out into a field and found buried a treasure. And when he looked at it and he inspected this treasure, he realized that this treasure was worth far more than everything he owned combined. And so, unfortunately, the treasure was found in a field that was not his own. So he buried the treasure again. He ran home. He gathered all the things that he owned. He sold them. And then with joy, he went and purchased that field that held the treasure. And usually, getting rid, selling all the things that you own, would be an unwise decision if it was only to buy a single field. But this wasn't an impulsive or foolish thing. This was actually the wisest and most sensible thing that this man could have done, because without question, he walked away richer than he was before. Now, Jesus, when he taught these parables, many times he started with the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like." And he did the same in this parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like that buried treasure that is worth far more than anything else, that is worth everything that this man had." We've been going through a sermon series over the last few weeks called We the Church. We're exploring what we, the church, are called to be, what we're called to do as this beautiful yet sometimes challenging expression of the kingdom of God. And we have this book as our guide. We have the scripture as our guide because we get to read the words of Jesus, our Savior. And not only that, but we get to read the story of how the church began. We get to see how those first followers of the resurrected Jesus, how they gathered, how they interacted with one another, how they existed within their own communities, how they took the teachings of Jesus and applied it to their lives in their context. And throughout the different series that we've gone through here at CPC, we seem to keep going back to this passage in Acts, which gives us just a short summary of the early church. And we go back to it over and over again because it's so powerful to read the story of the early church. But let me read a couple passages from Acts for us this morning to get the picture of that early church. In Acts 2:42-47, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. And then you flip a couple pages and you get to Acts 4, starting in verse 32. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there was no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. And reading these passages, it just every time fills me with excitement, because you just sense the freshness. They heard and they believed. And I love the phrases that's used of like all the believers, everyone. This wasn't just a few select people within the church that were excited. It was everyone experiencing this life together. There was unity. And then it wasn't just those believers that were being added to. More and more people were hearing the good news of the resurrected Jesus, and they were joining this movement of people who are living these lives. And then the other thing that's just so undeniable when you read these passages is the extraordinary generosity of the early church. Right? People are selling property to give to the needy. There is enough that there was not a single needy person among them. And as people who were following the way of Jesus, this shouldn't be that surprising, because when Jesus talked about generosity, you know, selling property, giving all that you had away, that was a pretty normal message for Jesus. You think about the story of the rich young ruler, the man who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom?" And Jesus says, "Hey, what do you think?" And he says, "Well, I've followed all these rules. I've done it since I was a boy." And Jesus says, "Okay, you're right. Now go and sell all you have, all you own, sell it, give it to the poor, give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me." And we know that the tragedy of that story is that that man walked away sad because he was very rich and he had a lot of property. And that wasn't the only time. We think of, we read in Luke 12:33, Jesus was teaching his disciples, and he tells them, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor." And this extraordinary generosity, it wasn't just for the rich. Mark 12, 41 to 44, we read about the widow's offering. It says, as he sat down, when Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box, many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. He called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. So Jesus gave instruction. He also praised extraordinary generosity, and the early church, they seemed to be following it. And so the possibly challenging question for us today is, has anything changed? Are we, the church, as we follow the example of Jesus, as we follow his teachings, should we be seeing similar things today? People selling property and giving to the needy, not having a needy person among us, people giving to the point of sacrifice. I think yes. I think Jesus' words still apply to us. I think we do have the example of the early church. And I know in my own heart, the only reason I don't want the answer to be yes is because of what that means. What's the implications of saying yes, this still applies to us? Right? I have friends who are right now selling their current place to move into a larger home. What does it mean to follow Jesus' instructions? Should they, yes, sell their property, but don't go buy another home? Give everything to the poor. I don't own my own home, but I'm somebody, like many people in Victoria, who dream of one day being able to afford a place here. Should I stop saving for a down payment and give all of that away to the needy in our city? You hear stories. I know of a couple, missionary couple, whether they're overseas or they're here in Canada, they ensure that at the end of the month they have $0 in their bank account. If they have anything left over, they give it away. That's incredible, right? We celebrate that. But this is a hard message. And we all know why it's hard. Because money offers us security. And it ensures that we have a roof over our head and food in our bellies. It means that we don't have to rely on other people as much. We can do a lot of fun things with money too. It gives us freedom, it gives us power. And so, whether you're here today and you call yourself rich, or maybe you go like, oh, that's not how I identify, all of us, I think, can understand the sadness of the rich young ruler, because giving away everything you have is hard. Maybe even too hard. And isn't that why we love to go back to kind of Old Testament teaching on tithing? 10%. I can do that. 10% sounds much better than 100%. But how we miss out when we do that. And I know this is true because the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought the field. There's something that is worth far more than anything we could ever own or buy. It's something that's worth giving 100% of everything that we have and are. When Jesus taught about money, when he taught about generosity, he was always talking about it in the context of the kingdom. Those two things are tied together because it was like he was putting the two next to one another and saying, here's a different place to find security. Here's a different place to find peace. Here's a different place to find freedom, a different place to find joy. And this place is so far superior to anything else because it is built on something completely solid. It is eternal. I want us to read Jesus' teaching when he told his disciples to sell their possessions and give to the poor. I want to read that in the context of Jesus' teaching. Luke 12, starting verse 22, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so it becomes obvious that Jesus wasn't just calling his disciples to demonstrate extraordinary generosity. This was talking about a whole different way of viewing your life. He brings it down to the most basic needs that we have. The most basic things that you'd think that you have a right to worry about. And he says, don't worry. When you don't know where your next meal is going to come from, where you don't know how you're going to clothe yourself, don't worry. I don't think there's many of us here who worry about those things. And yet, we worry still, right? But for all of us, if you go down to the very most basic things that we need, that money can buy, Jesus is saying, don't worry. Because there's something else for you to focus on. There's something else for you to invest in. Something else for you to live for. And it's a treasure that is worth far more than anything this world can offer. And it's the kingdom of God. And the only reason this kingdom is worth so much and is worth the maybe seeming risk of giving it all up for the kingdom is because of who the king is, right? The king who knows us, who sees each one of you, who knows your need, who cares for you. He's also got all the power. That's who you want looking out for you. When you think of the miracles that Jesus performed, he's the one who took the loaves and fishes and multiplied it so much that even once the thousands were fed, there was leftover. He doesn't just meet our needs. He lavishes his goodness on us. He's the one who turned water into wine, but wait, it wasn't just any ordinary wine. It was the best wine. He knows your need. He cares for you. This king is the one who created us. He's the one who gives us breath every day. He's the one who knows what tomorrow holds. He's the one who has told us that all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And he's the one who showed us what extraordinary generosity looks like. He's the one who gave up everything for us, who made the ultimate sacrifice on the cross, who, out of his great love for us, held nothing back so that we could experience life forever. And the life that is surrendered to this king, a life lived for his kingdom, that's the life that is far superior to anything else this world can offer. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the wisest, the most sensible thing to do is to give up 100% of what you have? 100% of who you are for this king, for this kingdom, to give up your plans, your hopes, your dreams, your time, your family, your finances. I believe that we, the church, are called to be people who give in extraordinary ways. I think we're called to look around and see the needs of people around us and give generously. I want to be known. Wouldn't it be cool if SBC was known in our city as a group of people who give in extraordinary ways? That's amazing. But this generosity is not supposed to come from some religious obligation, you know, some ancient rule that we're following. This generosity is to be the result of us surrendering 100% of our life to our King. It's the result of seeking his kingdom first. The result of investing in those things that are eternal. That's what I see when we read about the early church. That's what I hear when I hear Jesus' teaching. It's a different kingdom. It's a different place to find our security, our hope, our peace, our joy. And so my challenge for all of us, for you and for me today, is not go be more generous. It's not go home and put your house up for sale and give everything you make to the poor. Maybe that's what God is asking you to do, but that's not what I'm asking you to do. No, my challenge for us today is to consider where we're storing up our treasures. To consider what really has our heart. To consider if we actually see the kingdom of God like that buried treasure, worth far more than anything else. And to consider if there are things that we need to surrender to our God. And so I want to just give all of us a couple moments to ponder those questions, to maybe invite God to examine our own hearts, to point out the areas that we may be finding our hope in something that is temporary. Maybe those things that we just have a tendency to close our fists and want to hold on to so tightly. Let's just spend some time and let the Holy Spirit speak to each of us in our own context, in our own life. And then we're going to read a prayer together, so let's just take a couple moments. I invite you to read this prayer with me. There should be prompts on the screen for when you can read. So let's read together. We name you gracious Master and our God, great Redeemer and King. You offer us, you offer us the kingdom, Lord Jesus. A realm where the hungry are fed, the thirsty are given something to drink, and the homeless are housed. You offer us a realm where those who are shivering are clothed, the sick are visited, those in prison hear good news. Wonder how we are to receive such a gift. Will you require of us more than what we are already doing? Will you judge us for what we have done and what we have left undone? Will you leave us out of your community of salvation? In your great love and mercy, move us beyond fear. Move us beyond guilt. Move us beyond our anxious worry. Move us deeper into your surprising grace. Heal the blindness that does not see you when you come to us in distressing disguise. Set us free from serving lesser gods. Most of all, form in us the mind of Christ, so that we see the world through your eyes. So that our hearts are broken by the things that break your heart, and so that we delight in the things that delight you. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise, and we dedicate to you our offering. In this, we also dedicate the workings of our hands, the thinking of our minds, and the loving of our hearts. May each be used for the glory of your kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
close, I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'll also invite the ushers to come forward and to take up the offering. We're going to start off by singing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise." So let's sing this beautiful old hymn together.
Praise the Father, praise the
conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ once more, and then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint by his blood.
You help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, not on the wind and the waves, not on our bank accounts, not on our life goals. Would we hold it all with open hands, God?
Would we become more and more aware of your Spirit's leading and guiding to? Would you open our eyes to the needs around us? Yeah, would you give us courage to live the life that you showed us, a life of generosity? So God, would you take every part of our lives? We trust you with every part of our lives. So we praise you. We thank you for a kingdom that goes so far beyond everything that we see in front of us, and for the hope that is there. Yeah, we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning. As always, we would love to connect with you. If you're new, there are some cards in the seat in front of you, and you can fill those out, take it to the Connect desk. Also, just as you head out, we do have still some people's tax returns, little thingies for you, and Loretta will be at the Connect desk. You can grab those if you didn't get one in your email already. So check that out. And let me just leave us with this benediction. It's a prayer, and it's called Thy Kingdom Come. And it says this: in this world, kingdom living. In our mouths, kingdom praises. In our hearts, kingdom goals. And in our hands, kingdom gifts. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May it be so. Amen. Go in peace, and we'll see you next time.
empty.